Josh read some verses to us, and we heard the word, and I got some testimonies about what God, the Lord has done, but I do have a message from the Lord, and just it won't be a super long one, but I do want to speak about, I don't like my title. Do Right, Promotion is Coming is the title I got. I think by the end of the sermon, I'll change that. There's something better. It's somewhere in my head, and hasn't come to me yet, but it'll come somewhere along the way. And Psalm 75, and verse 1, unto thee, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Unto thee, O Lord, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. Selah. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. And unto the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. Don't be arrogant to the sinners, he's saying. For promotion cometh neither from the east, or from the west, nor from the south. But God is judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. He says promotion doesn't come from north, or from, it doesn't say north, because biblically, God refers to himself in the north. And in this verse, it doesn't come from the east, west, or south. And there's other verses where it kind of gives indication. I've heard people talk about that if you point a telescope north, there's fascinating things up there that indicate, but I don't know where. God just refers himself to the north sometimes. And so he says promotion doesn't come from these other directions. And God does it. God putteth up one and setteth up another. So don't get arrogant if you're there. Good example, this is Nebuchadnezzar. He eventually said, you know, look at this kingdom I built. And look how great I've done. And God humbled him and said, put him in a field, made him an animal, and said, for 7 years, you're gonna eat the grass until you realize that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. And giveth it to whomsoever he will. Don't be so arrogant. God put you here. I would like people in Washington, D.C. to get that, by the way. Now, we don't always know why God did it, but the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. God, when Christians are involved and God's people are involved, he'll put over them the authorities for multiple cases. Don't have time to teach you. There's several reasons he does it, but to punish you, because you deserve it, because it's what you asked for, and many other reasons. But he says promotion comes from God. Don't get arrogant about it if God's promoted you, wicked people. Don't blow your horn. It says, God put you there. And I'm not going to worry too much, he says, because God promotes. God lifts up one, puts down another, and so God's in control of that. And that's the foundation of the message. Just pray. Lord, thank you for your truth and your word, and I pray tonight, as you've been so good to us, just a beautiful night, Father, and we thank you. We praise you for what you've done. The people who are up here tonight, each one of them, I think of several of them, how they fought against serving you, fought against getting saved, some of them, and from different worlds, Father, and yet you brought them here. And others who could have given a testimony of your goodness, we thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the beautiful music. Thank you. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. And we just pray that you continue to bless and speak to our hearts and help us to understand your word and your ways. We need you. I ask that we would be humble and understand that we're blessed and that we need to rely on you and trust you. And may your spirit speak to our hearts in a powerful way through the word in Jesus' name. Amen. God is able to promote, set up, put down. It says those things. Genesis 4:7, it says, what are you upset about? If you do well, you will be accepted. Talking to Cain about his sacrifice. If you do the right thing, you're going to be fine. You're going to be accepted. And you are not, and you don't need to worry about it. Because God can put one up and put another down. God is in charge when you put your life into his hands, and God is sovereign. Now, not everybody puts their life into God's hands, and sometimes just the natural things that happen in life happen because somebody has this company, and they like this person, so they understand there are things where there's no Christians, there's no godly people, there's no people praying about things, where just, you know, the natural things that would happen on earth, God gives man free will, and we have all kinds of circumstances. But I want to say, you who are serving the Lord, don't stress about where you are in life if God has put you there. If you are doing your best, God can promote one and put another down. It says, "From promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth up one and setteth up another." I went out when I was in Bible college. I got married and I got laid off, right? I got laid off 2 weeks before I got married. And not that I had any money saved up. I was not making a lot of money. I was doing construction and just grunt work. And I was squeezing by. The economy was very poor there in the area. It was a depressed area. I got married, brought my wife back to the apartment, called back and had a guy sell my truck that I had back in Oregon to pay my next month's rent. I decided, well, there's nobody, I'm applying for jobs and I'm not really getting jobs. So I started a business and I had experience, me and another guy that I knew, in cleaning the exhaust fans, the flues, the fans and stuff in restaurants, the hood that's over there and then up into the fan out top and stuff like that. And so we started a business doing that. And I didn't know much about starting a business. I did not know how much capital you need to start with. And boy, let me tell you, be sympathetic to business owners. It's a rough go. And it takes a lot of stress and a lot of work and a lot of hours. And it's good. And if you can do it and God's given that gift, do it. And it's great. It's a blessing. And it's a blessing to many people because you're able to hire them. And that's good. But we didn't have the capital to get by. We had to buy a machine, a pressure washer. It had to be high temperature pressure washer. And that started us out in debt. We had to get a vehicle, a van. We started off, I had a Subaru hatchback. We started off putting our ladder and all of our cleaning equipment and the pressure washer and everything else in the back of that thing. And you had to put it in just right and take it out just right, because if you put one thing out of place, it wouldn't fit. And to make a long story short, we started getting business, but it wasn't enough business to support two guys and pay for the equipment and everything else. And then my coworker, we had a junky old Ford van. I'm invested in those always, and we have three of them at the church. But I had the junky old Ford van that burned a lot of oil, and I told him, always check the oil. And we were driving on the road one day to a job, and I heard the engine knock, and I said, "You check the oil?" He said, "We just checked it like 2 weeks ago." I said, "No, pull over." And the engine was dry in oil, and the engine blew. And long story short, we didn't have enough business, enough money, and I said, "You know, we owe for this pressure washer." I said, "I'll give you the business. Just let me out of it debt-free, and you can take everything." And so we did that. I got out of it. That year, I made $7,000 married. And I told you how poor we were. 1 month, we lived on $15 grocery. And I mean, we didn't get assistance. We didn't have the miracle at the doorstep. We lived on $15 that month and food. And we were very poor. But I got a job at a company called Overnight Transportation. And it doesn't exist anymore. UPS bought it out. Now it's UPS. But I got the job there. And it's pretty good job out there in that area. But I was part-time. And I started working on the dock. I had been in so many car wrecks. Somewhere along the way, I was moving a giant, I mean like a 12-foot-tall door that was very heavy. I was moving it with a dolly. And my back got wrenched. And I didn't understand rules and laws and injury money and stuff like that. I was too afraid to tell them I was injured because I had to support my family. So my back was messed up and it wasn't good. And so I told them and got a couple days off and came back to work, and I wasn't ready to come back to work. My back was killing me. It was the worst job in the world for that. You were lifting heavy things all night long. So it was a terrible job for that. I went to... I occasionally had to lift 150-pound, and it was very awkward because it was on the ground. It was a rug pole. It was a big long pole with a metal thing, and that metal thing went through rolls of rugs, and I kept getting loads of rugs, and I had to lift that onto my forklift, and then I'd be able to lift the rugs, and so I'd have to go get a guy, and I had two friends who knew I was injured. And so I'd say, "Listen, I got the rug pull here." Or I would say, "Hey, let's switch loads, man." They gave me heavy loads. And so I had to just get through it. Well, I ended up going, and there was a job outside where you backed up the trailers to the dock. And people would fill up the trailers, and they would pull them out and put a new trailer in. I had my CDL to drive a bus for the bus ministry. And so I went to the boss, and the boss liked me a lot because I wrote him notes and said I appreciated him. So he liked me a lot. And one day I said, "You know, Steve, I have my CDL." I didn't tell him it was a Class B CDL, not a Class A to drive trucks. I just said, "You know, I have my CDL." He said, "Really?" He said, "You know what? Why don't we put you out the yard and let you drive?" Now, backing up a trailer is much different than backing up a bus. And but I, the one thing I am just by nature, I don't say this to brag, I'm by nature, I'm an excellent driver at anything. I mean, give me anything to drive. It doesn't matter what I drive. I can drive a bulldozer. I can drive a tractor. I can drive a semi. I can drive a bus. I can drive anything. When we were in Chicago, the roads were very narrow. And cars would double park. If it was too narrow, the bus driver would always pull over to have me drive because I could fit. Literally, we would have to have the kids sit still because they rocked. We would hit the cars. We were that close on both sides. I mean, we're talking, and I wouldn't have to anybody check for me. I mean, I'm just naturally a driver, and I'm very, very natural at it. So he said, well, let's put you out there. Well, I went out there and learned how to back up a trailer, which wasn't easy to learn. It's very difficult when you first do it. And so I got this job, and I was making pretty good money at this job. I was making, I think at that time, this would be 1990, I'm going to say 94, 93 or 94, probably 93. And I started that job, I think I started at $14 an hour, which in that area is for a lot of money at that time. And but if you get full-time, I was part-time, you get a $3 an hour raise. If you become a jockey, we called them, in the yard, you got an extra 50 cents an hour. Well, I was, they decided, well, praise God, they put me out in the yard because my bag wasn't going to last much longer. And in the yard, all you had to do was drive. And so I was getting better and getting really good at it. And they had me out there every single night because they were one position short. And so we're preaching right now, Judy. There we go. We're having a service right now. So. Okay. Go ahead and get back there because we're in the middle of service. Can't just talk back there. And so we went and I was out there doing that every night. And my back was getting better. Praise the Lord. My back would handle that. And so it was good. Well, the position was opening up. They realized they had three guys out there. They realized they needed a fourth guy full time. We'd gotten busier and busier and busier. That's why I was out there. They needed a fourth guy to do it. And they decided to make a position. And that position would be an extra $3.50 an hour for me. And I wanted that position. And, well, at the same time, they started to put a fifth guy out there because if somebody didn't show up, they didn't have enough guys. And so they put another guy out there, and he just started learning to do it, and he wasn't very good at it. He was just learning how to do it. And they finally got they told me when the position comes around, we'll give you that position. And you're already doing it, so might as well give you the job. I was going to get a $3.50 an hour raise, and I was in trouble financially, obviously, because I had made so little money the year before. I had a baby coming now. And I needed the money, and so I was very excited about that. They told me the position's yours. Obviously, you're already doing the job. Position came around, but the guy who started learning how to do it out there was a minority, and he went to the owners, the leaders, and he said, you guys have got to give me a full-time position. It's you haven't given me a position because I am a minority, and you don't like minorities. Now, it wasn't at all true. There's minorities in all our positions, but companies are scared to death of that stuff. And so... the position opened up. There's four supervisors on that shift. Three of them were the regular supervisors and the lead supervisor. All four of them recommended me for the job, the terminal manager. But this guy who was just learning the job had complained to the terminal manager. Guess who got the job? And guess who went back in the dock? He got the job even though he didn't know how to do it yet. He was just learning to do it. And it started causing a stink because everybody was mad. I was already doing the job. I already knew how to do the job. I was recommended by all four supervisors for the job, and I needed the job. And people said, this is wrong. You ought to sue. And they all went crazy about it. And I just told them, I said, listen, guys, I'm in God's hands. I said, the cream always rises to the top. I said, I'll be fine. Now, that's what I said on the outside. On the inside, I said, oh, man, Lord, you got to do something. My back is not going to last in this dock, and I'm in trouble financially. And if you're part time, you didn't get as many hours. You get 25 hours instead of 40. Well, I trusted God, and you know what? God chose for that guy to get that position. God couldn't have gave me that position either way. I didn't get a position. Right after that, one of the guys who was out there and had the job, he failed a drug test. And everybody was upset, and all the way to the top, they knew that I'd gotten robbed, and they put me out there. Guy who got the job from me, he moved on. Another guy moved on. Pretty soon, I was the lead jockey at that position. That means I got an extra 25 cents above that, plus I got to choose what job I did out there, and I was the one in charge out there. And I worked that job, and then I stayed there until I came out here to start the church. In 97, I transferred the same company right out here to the Seattle Terminal in Tukwila, and unfortunately, they didn't have a jockey position. It's not big enough, so I was back in the dock in back pain for the next 6 years while I was starting the church. And but God help me, my back hold up. And so, you know, I could have gotten angry. I could have gotten bitter and said, wait a minute, this isn't right. You know, listen. You know, a lot of minorities got ripped off too in the past. Because they weren't the right race and everything. You know what? Life's unfair. And it wasn't fair at that time. Obviously, I'm not racist. Look at the church. Look at where my background. Obviously. But you know what? You can get angry and bitter about that stuff. Or you can say, you know what? I'm in God's hands. God could have promoted me. God could have given me a better job. God could have done anything. And you know what? I made it financially. When I needed the job and when I was really come time, I could do it. And my back held up long enough to get back out there. I want to say this. The whole point is people think that they've been ripped off in life. Think that you're going to get gypped off. You're doing the right thing and nobody sees it. Nobody understands it. Nobody understands what you've done. There is a sovereign God involved. Don't get so upset. Don't think you're living in a situation where everything's accident and you don't stand a chance. Where a person who hates you can ruin your whole life. No, don't live that way. Let me take you to 1 Samuel chapter 16. A good example, this is David. Though people might not think right, might not handle things right, might not be fair. And by the way, have you figured it out yet that humans and life aren't always fair? If you haven't, let me be the one to break the news to you. You're going to find that out. You got to tough it through sometimes. Life's not always fair. It's just not. But though David, here's David. David is out in the field. He's taking care of the sheep. He's doing what his dad told him to do. His brothers are all at home. Samuel shows up to come and anoint the new king. And David doesn't stand a chance. He's not even there. Why is he not there? Because he's doing what his dad told him to do. He's doing the right thing. Well, I guess he's going to get missed out on being a king. I guess some other brother is going to become the king because David's not there and he can't be the king. You know, God can overcome those little things. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 3, it says, And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. So Samuel went there. In verse 6, it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. Look at this guy. He's strapping. He looks like he's kingly. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not in his countenance, nor in the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh in the heart. And Jesse called the next brother and made him pass. And neither hath the Lord chosen this. And neither hath the Lord chosen this. And verse 10, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Samuel said to Jesse, these aren't it. Do you have any other sons? He said, oh, yeah, David. David's out in the field. He says, call him in here. David walks in. Samuel anoints him with oil, and he's the king in waiting. Why? He was doing the right thing. He didn't get passed up. God was watching. David was doing what he should do, and he didn't get passed up. David was in the field watching sheep, learning to write Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David is learning to be a shepherd so he could learn when he defended the sheep from a lion and a bear that he could kill Goliath someday because God is faithful. See, David was there not getting promoted, seeming to be left out, yet God didn't miss where he was and what he was doing. The Lord does not miss when you do right, though man does miss it. Sometimes in life you do the right thing and the people just happen to look at the wrong time. You worked all day long, and the one time you sat down for a minute to take a break, the boss walked in and looked. What are you doing, you bum? But you know, God's watching and saw you worked hard all day. And God knows what's going on. Don't be too stressed out. Don't think that you're left to randomness when you're serving God. How about David? 1 Samuel 17, since we're right there. David, his brothers all go to the war, and they're going to become war heroes. And David's left out because he has to watch the sheep. Nobody gives you a purple heart for watching sheep. And David's going to be left out of being a hero. His brothers get to go fight in the war and become heroes, and the girls sing songs about them. And they come back, and everybody says, oh, you're so strong. You killed so many Philistines. And David, well, his sheep will say, David, I love you. But that's about all he gets. He doesn't get much, and he's going to be missed out on all the things. And then his dad says, hey, David, go take some cheese and bread to your brothers and go bring them the stuff. And they have those little plastic things where you got the little cheese sticks you dip in the bread, the bread sticks you dip in the cheese. And so he brought those things to him, and the kids don't even know what those are. And so he brings those things to his brothers, and he hears Goliath cussing out God. And David says, hey, why doesn't somebody go kill that guy? And you're naughty, David. You haven't even watched your sheep. You aren't doing it. But David was doing exactly what he should have done. He set the sheep with somebody. He's doing it as dad said. He's bringing the food. And he says, let no man's heart fail him. I'll kill the giant. David's going to miss out on the war because he is just doing what he's supposed to do. And nobody's going to notice him watching sheep. Oh, that's not how it worked out. God said, I need David to go there and kill Goliath. Nobody else can do it. I'll get David there one way or another. Why? Because God's in control. In verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took the stone and sling it. I like that word. He slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. He's dead. David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took the sword and drew out the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw the champion is dead, they fled. And the men of Israel arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. And everybody said, who is that guy? Who was that masked man? That was David. He held up the giant's head as a little kid. And David, and then they ended up singing a song, David slain his 10,000s. Why? Because David was just being faithful. He didn't say, you know what? Nobody's going to notice me unless I step out of line. I'm not going to obey my dad. I'm going to that battle. No. That's not how you get promoted. You please God, and God will take care of putting you in the right spot. You please God. God will give you the promotion. God will bless you. God will give you the job at the right time when you're ready for it. Joseph was put down by people and put where he should have failed in every spot, but God promoted him to the number 2 in the kingdom. Why? Because promotion comes from God for those people who please him. And I'm not talking just job promotion. I'm talking about whatever you need in life, in your family, whatever you need. Listen, God can take care of things. You've got to work on pleasing God. He'll take care of man and your position and the way people look at you. He can make your boss see you a certain way. He can make your boss, and if you don't please God, see you the wrong way, even though you're a hard worker. I want you to realize you have, now do what your boss says. The Bible says, servants, please your masters in all things. And it's good. You should work hard and do what you're, if you're underneath somebody, do what they say. And that's important. But even the boss should be pleasing God. Everybody's job is to please God and look up. And if we will please God and worry about pleasing him, he can put us where we need in life. He can put us in a situation. He can put us where we get the passport to get to America. When we shouldn't get one. Because God can lift up one and put down another. God can bless in ways that we can't figure out. The Lord is able to do these things. Just a few points I want to give you. They won't be long. Number one, don't be weary in well-doing. Do the right thing. Just keep on doing right. Keep on doing right. Keep on doing right. If I would have started whining at that job and complaining at that job and not being a good employee and not doing the right thing and not being diligent, I would have never gotten the position I wanted. Don't get in a position where you think you got robbed in life and become a lazy victim whose life you, because if you want, I've seen so many people who fail in life because all they're doing is looking backwards and blaming somebody else for ruining their life, and they won't look forward enough to go get themselves educated, work right, start a business, do a good job. Why? They're too busy saying everything's wrong and they got robbed. Listen, you might have got robbed. I got robbed. Can we all agree that wasn't fair? Okay? But I didn't get robbed. You know, if I went out there at that time, there might have been something I don't know about. I might have done something stupid. I might have gotten an accident out there. Something bad might have happened, and God might have known that, and I don't. All I know is God didn't give me the position at that time, even though all 4 supervisors said it's my position. Maybe I should say, that's interesting. I wonder why God did that. All things work together for good to them who love God. Don't be weary in well-doing. Keep doing right. You work hard for the Lord, even if nobody appreciates it. You work hard for the Lord, though your husband or your parents don't see it. God's going to bless you. Number two, don't do everything heartily as to the Lord. This is where it says this, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. God can just bless you anywhere. Though man messes things up and doesn't know the whole story. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, verse 25, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Do what you do for God. And it doesn't matter what your job is. If you are a janitor or if you manage a business with 1,000 employees, it does not matter. You do it for the Lord. It's important. You do it good. You work hard. You be diligent. And I want to say this, don't just do it to get your boss to notice you. And I don't think that's wrong, okay? That's fine. But I want you to do it more for God to notice you. Because men do not always see everything. And they might miss it, but you'll still have done right. Do everything heartily to the Lord. Number three, don't worry too much if humans don't see the good, your good, or praise you. Can I tell you? There are people out here. There are people out there, no matter how much good you do, they will always bring up the bad you do. And I'm going to sound really old school here for a second, okay? That's probably because I'm old school. Okay, you ready? Your boss doesn't owe you any praise. He owes you a paycheck. If your boss is nice enough to say good job, you got a bonus. Don't gripe if your boss doesn't say good job. It's not his responsibility. He has a lot on his back. You just, if you get a paycheck and the check cashes, you got what you earned. Okay? If it doesn't pay you, then you got an issue. If you're doing it for God, nobody has to say, well done, good job, I'm proud of you. If they say it, thank him. We got a lot of people in this room who've been leaders and stuff like that. And you know, half the time you're too busy thinking about the project, you forget to say, good job. And they just did their job. And if you're an employer, I want to say, if you're an employer, good. Say good job. All that stuff. Try to be nice. But people don't notice things. How many of you, you work on your own and nobody sees exactly how good a job you did? Sometimes you did a good job and something went wrong. You were trying to do a good job and just the accident happened when you were on the shift. And they think you did a bad job. I remember I was delivering donuts and we didn't deliver, well, for a while what I was doing is delivering the donuts to the donut shops. So I would bring whole stacks, big racks of donuts. And don't ask me why, but the owner bought the cheapest possible. This thing was such a piece of junk. It knew it was a piece of junk. It was so bad. Iveco was the brand. Oh, these things. Worse than a Yugo. And it was a truck with a lift on the back. And the thing about it was, these things had small back tires and big front tires, which means the whole truck was tilted backward. And you had a lift on the back, and you're putting giant racks with wheels on the back. And then you're lifting it up, electronic, it has this little lift, zzz, and you're lifting it up, and the whole time, every one of those things is trying to roll off. Oh, piece of junk. I remember one day, they just baked all the donuts, and I was going to go take it to the other donut shop, the whole next day's donuts. And there goes the racks. And right as it's almost the top. And piles of donuts. And they did not appreciate my hard work that night. You know, really, it ended up happening to several drivers because it was the dumb vehicle. I sat up many a night still thinking, how could we keep those things on there? We tried to bungee cord them on. It's a mess. Listen, sometimes you're trying to do right and bad things happen. The tool breaks when you're using it. You didn't do so. So you better realize you can't always please men. Now you can. Now I want to say you're a good worker and you go to work every day, show up on time, work hard, 8 hours work, 8 hours pay at least. You do your thing. Most of the time, you're going to stand out. However, You better just work on pleasing God, because not everybody's going to say, thank you, well done. And your husband's not always going to do it. And your kids aren't going to always say, thank you, Dad, for being such an amazing, diligent dad and going to work every day. They don't do that all the time. And your kids might not appreciate you and say, Mom, thank you for cooking every meal. All they say is, "What? Where's your ice cream?" And they don't always notice the good. And humans don't always appreciate things. You might work real hard for the church, and pastor might forget to say, good job. I forget everything. That's just one of the things I forgot today, was to say good job. I don't remember my kids' name. Don't expect me to say good job to you. And so you better do what you do for the Lord, and you please God. Don't worry too much if humans do not see or appreciate your good or praise you. Number four, don't worry too much when the wicked prosper. Sometimes ungodly people do real well. So you don't you hate it when the lazy guy works, somehow the boss just sees the good. You know, sometimes they get promoted because they're the drinking buddy. And you're not. And they like him better and they promote him. Don't get too angry. You're in God's hands. God could give you whatever job he wants. God can move you. God can change the heart of the boss. God can change the heart of the teacher. Listen, don't get too upset when wicked people are sneaky. And for a while, they get away with a lot of things. And you sometimes are being honest and right and just, and you aren't doing as well as them. You know what you do? Don't envy them. Their day's coming. God is not mocked. Can I tell you, dishonest people usually end up broke. Now, they get rich for a while sometimes, but they end up broke. They end up messed up. They end up, their kids hating them. They end up not being trusted, and their family's falling apart because they're not trustworthy. It's coming. Don't envy a wicked person, the Bible says. They prosper for a little while. You have integrity, and you please God, and don't sit here and say, poor me, I did the right thing. And you know what? I wouldn't do this honest thing, so I didn't get promoted at work. And that happens. I told the boss the truth, and I didn't lie to him. And you know what? If I'd have lied to him, I'd have been better off. No, you wouldn't have. I understand. If you'd have lied, you'd have gotten away with it. But something else, God would have punished you. There's a judge that's involved in this called God. Let me take you to one more passage. We'll finish up. Back in Psalms 37, everything we just said is going to say this. And I just want to say, do right and trust God to reward you right. Be a person of integrity when nobody's looking. And trust God to make things fair. And when things are unfair, realize God's going to equal it out. Psalm 37. It's beautiful. We'll read this and we'll be done. And you'll see exactly what we've just been saying. Psalm 37, we're going to read a long passage, verses 1 through 12. I kept thinking, that's too long. Oh, but I got to put that verse in there. Oh, that, yep, I got to put that one in there. Look at Psalm 37. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Listen, don't say, you know what, I'm going to start doing wrong. It's working for them. Don't do that. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon it their teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Isn't that good? Everything we just said, God said in one passage. Just calm down. You know what? I'm going to do right if I suffer for it. Because God's going to take care of and be a judge. I am not going to compromise. I'm not going to be a weaselly, sneaky person who thinks I'm going to cheat my way into blessings. I'm going to be a person of righteousness. I'm going to retain my integrity. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to work hard because God's watching me. And my boss might not see it or understand it, but I'm going to trust God. I realize promotion cometh from God. You can't keep Joseph down. You can't keep David down. God's blessing him because he's doing right. Please God, do the right thing when nobody's watching, and you'll find God's going to bless you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your truth. Thank you that we can trust you to be a righteous judge. Thank you that we don't have to be frustrated people in life thinking we got robbed if we'll just start doing right. What a restful truth, Lord. Thank you for saying these things to us. Thank you that man might miss things, but you never do. I pray that we just do right, do right, do right. Walk in integrity. Lord, help us to do right. Help us not to get bitter because we think we get robbed. If we're in your hands, Lord, we don't get robbed. It just lasts for a moment, then you repay. Help us to trust you in this. Help us to rest. Help us to look up and focus on you. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are